from the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people. They're paid by a con, and they'll say, Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig, and sometimes other people. Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig, and sometimes other people.
Everybody's Brian Vinny Show. It is Sunday night, March 22nd, 2026. Figure4Online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Curryhead wrote first in the chat after the guy that just said something before him.
Is this 2008?
Well, it's just funny because he wasn't actually first.
Even better.
People chatting, and then he just came in and said first, even though he wasn't. But actually, the first person had a very good question. What are we reviewing? SmackDown? Collision? AAA? Well, I see people are very confused. AAA is on Tuesdays. We are reviewing Rey de Reyes for this month. And we reviewed night one of Rey de Reyes last week. Night two will be this Tuesday. And I think there's a third night of Rey de Reyes, which will be the following Tuesday. Tonight, I don't know, because I just got back from Spokane and I haven't watched anything.
All right.
I've caught up with news, but I've not watched any programming because we left on Saturday morning. I got the kids up at 5:30 a.m.
What?
Yep.
You're a horrible dad.
No. I mean, the flight was 7:40. So we flew out at 7:40. Yes, we took a flight to Spokane because, as Vinny is well aware, the pass was closed down a week ago.
That's
so
true. Yeah,
yeah. I did not want to risk any of that, so we flew to Spokane. And it was for the Relentless Wrestling Show, which was at the, if I dare say, beautiful Northern Quest Hotel and Casino. And you think, a casino, you say? Yes, a casino. And I have been to a couple of shows, a couple of Relentless shows at the casino. And every time I'm like, you know what? I know it's a casino and everything like that, but these kids would have a blast. And so I arranged for them to go, and I can cheerfully say that they had a blast. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff besides just the wrestling show. There's a Kids Quest giant thing that has a bunch of stuff in it.
Sounds cool.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I sure do.
If you're a kid, you know what I'm talking about. There's slides, and there's arcade games, and there's climbing walls, and there's like the whole shebang. And, you know, some of the other, I don't want to break kayfabe, but some of the other wrestlers' kids were there, and they all got along swimmingly, and then there was like a row at the show just for the kids of the wrestlers, and so Hunley and Paisley got to sit in that row, and man, they're just going crazy during the show. This was the first live show they ever got to see me perform at, because I did, in fact, do a spot.
Oh.
Yeah. I super kicked Chase, the top heel, and then he tased me, bro. So,
well, I hope you learned your lesson.
I did.
Mind your own business.
It was a bad idea.
Yeah.
But then Filthy got involved.
Yeah.
For the first time after he got a new hip, and that bro got tased too. It was a rough night for both of us.
I'm really glad I stayed home.
But hey, at the end of the day, we did commentary, and then we did our spots. And then, you know what? Unlike John Cena, we didn't quit. And we went back and did commentary for the second half of the show. And you know, we've talked about how weird wrestling is many times. But man, this show, dude. I mean, there were a lot of names on this show. And it was like, you had, I mean, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion was on this show. Okay? Mm-hmm. With the belt. You know, Santana's there. And he wrestled TJP, who is currently working for AAA, which is a WWE promotion.
Yes.
So you actually basically had a WWE guy versus the TNA World Champion. And I realize they're working to get everything like that. But I mean, you know, Chris Bay was there and Chris Daniels was there. And they were in opposite corners. You know, it was just like all of these different promotions. And the Bollywood boys were there working as heels.
What?
Yeah. You seen the Bollywood brothers?
Yeah.
Great baby faces.
Yeah, absolutely.
They worked this match as heels.
Wow.
And not to break kayfabe, but like before the match, they were kind of like, you think this crowd's going to go for it? And I was like, don't worry about this crowd. And sure enough, they went for it.
Gotcha.
Plus, it was the Good Brothers, their opponents. And I guess Chris Daniels like put the match together. And it was like, it was such an easy, it was perfect. And these fans just ate it up. Bollywood boys being heels, and then like they attack Chris Daniels and they interrupt Chris Bay, so they're already hated, and then they get a little bit of heat, and then the Good Brothers, they just make their big comeback, and I mean, it was awesome. And like the whole show, there's crazy ladder match. I mean, it was a great show. If you guys are in the Spokane area, you should go to watch these shows, especially when they do the big events at the Northern Quest Casino, which hopefully Tom and I can like do all of them. Because it's so much fun, and like the kids had a great time, and it was a good time. So that's where I was all weekend.
Yeah,
and we didn't do any interviews this time. I guess Chris Daniels did he did kind of like a seminar and then a Q&A in the afternoon, and so we ended up just doing commentary in a spot instead, and it was a lot of fun. Great crowd, like 900 people there. It was packed. And a very, very nice, casino. So, should go sometime, Vinny. Should make the trek out there.
I walked in, your daughter Paisley shouted at me, I almost got hit by a belt. I said, what?
So, Brian Keith was there, the Bad Apple.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's a heel. And so, like, the kids are all, they're like three rows back, and there's all these kids in the aisle. Okay? So, I mentioned this at Raw. Paisley knows nothing about wrestling, okay? Zilch. She never has watched a show on television in her life. The only wrestling she's ever seen is two trips to Kent for AEW, and then I took her to Raw on Monday, and then she went to this show, okay? But no, there's no human on earth who loves wrestling while simultaneously knowing absolutely nothing about it like Paisley. I look over during commentary, like, she's clapping the whole show. She's doing the chants. Like, she's a nice kid, so, like, there's other little kids in the row. They're flipping off the heels. And so Paisley just kind of lifts her fist up. But I'm just dying watching this. And, like, every time one of the wrestlers comes out, like, she was a huge fan of Brittany Brooks because she's, like, wears all pink and everything like that. And she's, like, she bought some of her merch and she's giving all these wrestlers high fives. So at the end of the match, you know, Bad Apple's in a bad mood, and he starts heading to the back, and the kids are all heckling him. Ah, you know, one of the kids flipping him off or whatever. And so Bad Apple just stops, and he starts taking his belt off. Paisley fucking went sprinting. I mean, I thought she was going to leave the casino. She thought this guy was going to whip her with this belt, and it's all she could talk about. Like, she knows, you know, this is a performance, but in that moment, yes. It was not a performance.
Yes.
And then, you know, before the show, I wasn't actually going to, like, when I showed up, I was just going to do commentary. But then, you know, the promoter's like, hey, you want to do a little spot or whatever? And so the kids are kind of milling around before the show, and we're going over what we're going to do or whatever. And so then we go off and do whatever. They go to the kids' club. And so on the way back from the kids' club to the show, I said, kids, listen, I just got to explain something to you guys, okay? This whole thing, it's like, we're all friends, okay? I'm going to be at ringside, and I'm going to be very close to all of the other wrestlers. I'm going to be right there. And so you never know, like, somebody could end up here or somebody could end up there. And I just want you to know, like, if anything happens to Daddy, like, everything's okay, all right? Don't worry about it. And without skipping a beat, Paisley goes, yeah, I know, you're going to get tased tonight. I was like, what? What? Apparently she like heard the whole conversation, was just taking it all in. Yeah. I thought she was just dancing around, like not caring about anything. No, she was paying attention.
It was probably her idea.
It might have been.
Yeah.
It was a real taser, by the way. Might have been her idea. And then my favorite line ever that I've been spoken, that I've heard from my children was from Hanalei. I do the whole spot, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like it all went well. And, we're leaving, and I was like, man, you guys, you know, I did this long before you guys were born, and this was the first time I ever got to do something in front of you guys. Was it cool? And they were like, yeah, it was neat and all. And then Paisley goes, how come you don't do it anymore? And I said, well, you know, after a while, you kind of get old, you know?
Yeah.
And
oh, I do. I'm well aware.
And Hanalei says, Daddy, how old are you? And I said, I'm 50. And she goes, oh, well, you know, maybe you can keep doing this till you're 40.
That's your daughter.
That was my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, maybe I can keep doing this till I'm 40. That's a good goal to keep doing this shit till I turn 40.
Because that's going
to
be a long time.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be
quite
a while.
It will be a long time before you're in your 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a great time. Check it out and go if you're ever in the Spokane area.
Very cool. Very cool.
Actually, I should mention one last thing. Mm-hmm. So on the way back, you know, we get a shuttle and everything like that. And it's just me and the kids and the shuttle driver. And he's driving us back to the airport. And it always gets kind of awkward, like, so were you guys at the thing this weekend? What was it? Some show? I said, yeah, it was a wrestling show. And he goes, oh, wrestling, huh? I said, yeah. He goes, were you on the show? And I said, well, I did commentary for the show, and then I did a little something, but, you know, I used to be a wrestler, but I'm not anymore. He goes, you know, I used to be a wrestler. I said, is that right? He goes, yeah, you know, junior high, a lot of folk style and freestyle. I was like, yeah, you know, I did that when I was younger as well. And then he says, and you know, I used to do in Atlanta. You know what that means? I said, what's that mean? He goes, Georgia Championship Wrestling.
There you go.
Now, keep in mind, the airport's only like 5 minutes away. This guy, like, I was his new best friend. He's talking about Dusty and the Midnight Express and Ric Flair and Abdullah the Butcher. And this guy's going, he like is so into this that he drove past the terminal.
See, that's no good.
And I think he went like miles past the airport.
He's driving you home.
And he's just like, he's still talking. I'm like, is this guy going to take us over the pass? And he's telling these stories. I grew up, man, and I used to watch. And then they wanted to watch. I forget what show his parents wanted to watch. I was in tears, but I couldn't tell him otherwise. So I had to sneak over to my friend's house, and they were always drinking. And man, if I would have got cut. And he's telling me his whole life story. And finally he goes, I think I drove a little too far. So this guy had to go all the way back and get me back to the airport again. But man, this guy loved him some Georgia Championship Wrestling. That was the good old days, he says. I go, you know, Dennis Condrey just died. What? He didn't know Dennis Condrey died? Yeah, then he had to talk about the Midnights. I was like, man, oh man, that was... And the kids are in the back just like, what the heck's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
But that was... He knew everything there was to know about Georgia Championship Wrestling. What's Dusty's kid's name? I mean, Cody Rhodes. Yeah, isn't he a top guy today? I was like, yeah, he knew nothing about today because it was better back then.
It really was.
Well, anyway, what are you talking about, Vinny? Because I'm going to get out of here.
I mean, if you want to, you stick around. I'm very entertaining.
Okay.
But I am happy.
I'm going to check on the kids here and there. But
I am happy that you had this tale to tell of your weekend, because I sat down to watch SmackDown and Collision, and I watched SmackDown, as we discussed here, and then I sat down to watch Collision, and it was not until I sat down to watch Collision that I realized, because of the basketball this weekend, they did an hour on Saturday, and 1 hour, I believe, right now.
Yeah, there's an hour taking place right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I only had I had an hour less stuff to talk about than I had planned on, because AEW, as always, sucks at actually promoting their promotion. But
I want to throw one last thing in here. You may want me to leave. Sky just wants to know where you can watch the show. All of the matches from the Relentless show always go up on their YouTube page. So if you search Relentless Pacific Northwest, it'll come up on YouTube. And they put all of the shows up there. It's not going to be up now. I think they like put up one match at a time over the course of time. But you'll be able to check it out here. And you can watch like old shows too, like the last show we did there. But they're going to all be up on the YouTube page. So Relentless Pro Wrestling, Relentless PNW, I believe, on Twitter. So check it out.
All right. Well, so I also discussed SmackDown, which honestly wasn't any more important than this Collision. But somehow it felt like a bigger deal. Not a better deal. Collision was much, much better as a show to watch. SmackDown it felt like a major league product, even though, like I say, it was mostly a boring slog with a little bit of greatness.
Great.
And a lot of very unintentional comedy. There were times where I was laughing my ass off. I don't think I was supposed to. I watched WWE SmackDown March 20th, 2026. Last week, Cody and Randy signed their contracts, talk about the history, and Randy beats his ass and also shoves down Jelly Roll. And I'll just make sure I say this while you're in the room. The star of this episode of SmackDown was, in fact, Jelly Roll.
You know, I got to ask a question. Right. You won't know the answer, but I know all the results of this show, mm-hmm. and I also know the lineup for next week. And it's like, we're a month away from WrestleMania, and all these matches that I think they're going to build up for WrestleMania, they keep announcing them for, like, next week.
Yes.
Like, I thought Jelly Roll and
Jelly Roll and Kit sounds like a Mania
yeah,
match.
Yeah, I thought, okay, well, we're building up for that match in Mania. And then, nope, that match is next week.
No.
And then they got, like, a tag team title match.
Yep.
It's just next week. It's like, are we ever going to get, like, the rest of this two-day card? We got, like, six confirmed matches for two nights right now.
I thought the whole deal with this U.S. Open challenge was eventually Ilya Dragunov would accept at WrestleMania. No, he accepted this week.
Yeah, like...
That was a payoff out of nowhere.
I mean, I know they'll have a card.
But it would be nice to know what it is.
Well, Tony does the same thing where it's like, you know, we're 2 weeks away and we got, like, three matches. And then, like, the last 2 weeks, all these matches come in, everything like that. That's fine when you're running monthly. Or, for example, they've got another show coming up in 2 weeks. But, like, this is WrestleMania where you're supposed to feel like, you know, we've waited a long time for these matches. But all these matches just keep being given away for free on television.
Yes.
So it's eventually going to be like, okay, wow, yeah, we're getting this big match, but it's got a two-week build.
There's no anticipation for this.
Yeah.
And they're not building it now. There will also be no... There's no anticipation now, nor will there be any anticipation in 2 weeks. So we see the Irresistible Forces and the Bella Twins, the MFTs, and all these people here. Jelly Roll is here, and then security passes by Jelly Roll. They find a car wreck outside where Drew McIntyre has plowed his car, apparently, into Jacob Fatu's car, and the two of them are brawling. Yes, two car wreck spots on national pro wrestling television in barely 48 hours.
And a guy who quits back already.
But it's also a thing going on.
Yeah, getting quit.
Getting quit and or fired and coming back. So Drew storms down to ringside, and they address this. Aldis threatens to fire him. Drew laughs him off. And yes, I realize Drew also quit last week, and they mentioned this. They mentioned that here that he quit last week. But also, I can't help but think that TNA has ruined the threat of firing for all pro wrestling everywhere. No one's going to take it seriously now. Fatu comes out. They brawl some more. Eventually, Fatu splashes Drew through the announce desk, and we go to commercial. Then we come back. They recap that whole deal. The first match is Damian Priest and R-Truth versus the MSTs for the tag titles. It goes 30 seconds, then a commercial. Truth gets a hot tag after the break. He does John Cena's comeback, including an STF. And just like John Cena's STF, it's quite terrible. The lights flash. The Wyatts arrive. They brawl with various folks. The babyfaces run wild. Truth pins JC Mateo with an AA. Truth and Priest, your new tag team champions. And that got a huge, huge reaction. But the match itself was just a bunch of messy spots and run-ins. And man, I watched this Saturday morning. Friday night, I'd done whatever, and I got the news about Dennis Condrey, so I spent my Friday evening just watching...
That sucks.
...Midnight Express matches. That part was awesome.
You should have been on the shuttle with that guy today.
I might have. But yes, I went from the golden age of tag team wrestling in the late 80s with the Midnight Express, and the Rock and Roll Express, the Fantastics, and the Road Warriors, and I forgot about this, but yes, Dennis Condrey and Randy Rose of the Midnight Express did wrestle the Midnight Rockers in the AWA. It's Dennis Condrey versus Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. I went from those teams to Damian Priest and R-Truth as tag team champions in the biggest promotion ever. That's the best team they can find. It's depressing.
And they already changed the tag team titles.
Like since this?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wyatts were champions forever.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, they lost, what, did they lose 3 weeks ago?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have no idea what the tag match or if there will be a tag match at WrestleMania.
Apparently, Collision's not started because the NCAA tournament basketball is still ongoing.
Yep. That is why we're not reviewing the Sunday show, everyone.
All right. Apparently, the show's free, by the way. So, hello, everybody who's watching on for free.
Cool beans.
Hope you enjoy. And if you like it, sign up.
Yes.
F4WOnline.com, twitch.tv/F4WVideo. Actually, we don't have Twitch on right now. F4WOnline.com/Apple, F4WOnline.com/Spotify, or video.F4WOnline.com. All $9.99 except for the main site. So, sign up if you like this. If you like shows where I didn't watch anything and I'm talking about it anyway. Go ahead, Vinny.
Kathy interviews the Bella Twins, who are ranting about being overlooked and blazing a trail. Charlotte and Alexa interrupt. They're eating ice cream for no particular reason. They're also pissed, which is very hard to do when you're eating ice cream. But they promise not to get involved in this tag team title match, although they are going to challenge the winners, whoever that may be. The Bellas say, hey, you should watch our match. And they steal Alexa's spoon. The villainy. Johnny Gargano is still catatonic.
Oh, my God.
It's been like since Thanksgiving, right?
No, didn't he come back to life like 2 weeks ago? I could have sworn like he came back to life. Well, now he's catatonic again?
He is. And Candace asks Danhausen to uncurse him. He just takes her money and leaves. And the machine guns pass by and are bewildered by all this. We have social media reaction to Randy Orton's attack on Cody Rhodes last week. My self-esteem was through the roof after watching these dorks. Kathy tries to interview Sami Zayn about Cody. Sami says, I should be focused on Aleister Black, my opponent tonight. I can't stop thinking about Cody. Look what happened to him. He tries to be good. He ends up bloody. Randy Orton did what he did. He gets his title match. I don't know what to believe in anymore. So Trick interrupts. He brags about beating Jacob Fatu. Sami starts to challenge him. Trick says, I'm busy, but I'll check if my schedule's free. In the meantime, I'll give you some pointers. And Sami laughs this off. Motor City Machine Guns versus Fraxium. Once again, we go 1 minute and do a commercial break. So, Fraser's making a comeback after the break. He gets cut off, and they start talking. And based on the commentary, it appears they're at least teasing the idea of breaking up the Motor City Machine Guns.
Why would you do this?
That is such an absolutely terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
You would torpedo your tag division for two guys who will never make an impact as singles guys here.
Well, if I know WWE, which I do, my guess is we'll do this tease, and then they'll turn heel.
Or that. Yeah. Yeah,
we've seen that countless times.
That's also true.
But breaking these two up sounds like a very bad idea.
So Fraxium is running wild and hitting dives when Candace shows up. Candace LeRae shows up. She decks Axiom. Saban didn't see this. He pins Axiom with a cradle, so the machine guns win. Saban's all happy. Shelley apparently did see Candace deck Axiom. He's a little confused, but he's certainly not complaining. I guess that's the idea, is that
he'll turn.
Saban's fighting clean and Shelley's kind of a dick, and then it'll turn out they're both dicks. We recap Drew and Jacob again. Then we recap Punk and Roman on Raw, where Roman told Punk, you're old.
Yeah.
And Punk has gotten to.
He should have told him, you can keep doing this till you're 40.
Yeah. Who would ever accuse CM Punk of being so sensitive? Randy Orton comes out for a promo.
Oh, boy.
Does his whole entrance. Still wearing the bloody shirt, or the shirt stained with Cody's blood. So the idea here is that I'm going to get these fans to boo me. Or they're thinking, we're going to get these fans to boo him.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Suffice to say, it did not work.
Huh.
So he talked about getting cheered. Talked about getting cheered and how great that felt, but he wanted his legacy to be more gold around my waist, which made people cheer more. He was all set to fight Drew. Then Cody got the belt. He didn't know if he could be who he needed to be Cody. Cody said, go ahead, be the Viper. So I did. And he's ranting and screaming. And I'm looking at this, and Randy Orton is not that much younger than Punk, if at all. And he's starting to turn, like, he's more red than the bloodstains on his shirt. And I was starting to get legitimately worried about this man. So he's ranting and screaming and snarling about how evil and diabolical and vicious he is, and he says, I'm going to do it with an RKO! And the fans chant, RKO! RKO! And eventually, he just says, he did say his last line, I'm going to do this match in the main event of WrestleMania. And his music plays, and everyone cheers. And yes, if the idea was to get fans to boo him, this was a miserable failure.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I'm just baffled because it was so obvious this was going to happen. I mean, we've talked about this for months and months and months. Randy is one of those guys who's now not going to get booed. And not only that, they've portrayed him in such a way that the fans want to see him win another title. Like, you go on social media, and you ever notice, like, sometimes you'll tweet something on social media, maybe this doesn't happen to you, but then some rando will, like, come into the conversation saying something that has nothing to do with anything.
Yep.
I have that every now and then.
Yeah.
And it's always people going, like, Randy deserves better. Why won't Triple H give him? And it's like, fuck, what are you talking about? But, like, there's a thing where people think Randy Orton is being held back.
Yes.
And not being rewarded for fuck only knows what, being around forever. And now Randy's got a mystery benefactor on the phone who I think is Rock. I think they want it to be Rock.
Yes.
And if Rock doesn't do it, it'll end up being somebody else.
Cowboy Bob.
But we're still waiting for, you know, that big angle they did after Cody won the title, and then, you know, Rock put that thing into his hand and we'd never got a payoff and then he vanished. I mean, I think that Rock is still trying to get Cody in storyline. And if he comes back, that'll be next year's Mania. And if he doesn't, maybe it'll be Cowboy Bob.
Cody versus Rock in 2027.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Matt Cardona confronts Randy Orton backstage. Tries to tell him he's being a jerk. Orton rages into him. You stop playing with action figures. Calls him a mark-ass stooge and also an indie nerd. And he beat Cardona's ass. And if the idea was to get me personally to boo Randy Orton, that was a miserable failure. I had a giant smile on my face watching him call Cardona a mark-ass stooge and an indie nerd. That was great entertainment.
Sometimes these guys are like so out to lunch with their ideas. It's like, well, you thought they're, I don't know. There's hindsight and there's foresight, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes hindsight is 20/20, but in this case, God, what are you doing? This is not going to work. Everyone knew this. Like, apparently everybody except WWE knew that this would be a failure, but here we are.
Aleister Black versus Sami Zayn.
Like, I didn't watch the show. I told you while you were recapping it what I thought happened, yeah. Right?
You're right about everything.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Aleister Black versus Sami Zayn, I was begging to just get out of the way, let everyone get out of the way and let them have a great match. That is not what happened. They went a minute, the lights went out, Trick Williams came out, then we went to commercial, came back, it was fun while it lasted, but the action spills outside. Sami distracts himself to start shit with Trick, who was just sitting there. So Trick defends himself by getting up and throwing his drink at Sami. They have a stare down. They both settle down. They turn their backs to each other to go back to where, you know, Sammy's getting back to the ring. Trick's going back to his announced chair. Until Sami turns to attack. Now Trick is scurred. And I will say that Trick Williams was incredible in this segment. So Trick's beaten, Sammy's beaten Trick's ass. And I think, okay, he's lost his mind. He's lost his temper. He's beaten this guy's ass. He has countered out fine. No, because the goal is to make Sami Zayn the biggest geek in the world. And so Sami distracts himself, gets himself into trouble, and as he's fighting, suddenly remembers he has a match to win, dives back in the ring, rolls right back into the black mass, and Aleister appeared to kick all his teeth out, just drilled him. And Aleister Black pins him.
So add another one. Sammy's got to be turning heel.
I don't know why they're so determined to make Sammy a geek. I don't know why Trick Williams is feuding with a geek. I don't know why Aleister Black is winning matches when right now he's the one who has, talk about not having a clear path for WrestleMania. What on earth would Aleister Black be doing at WrestleMania? And if the answer is nothing, why is he winning matches right now?
Maybe there's going to be an Andre the Giant. I think this is probably less about him and more about Sammy constantly failing
and
getting
failing.
Further and further away from the world title.
And whining.
Until finally he has to turn heel. And so ultimately he'll finally win his world championship as a bad guy.
Why is this stuff so hard?
All those years that he was so over. How over was this guy at NXT and he came to the main roster? How over was he in Montreal for that big match? I mean, they fucked it up so many times. And now in the end, it's going to end up being, well, he turned heel and won that belt. Wow.
Matt Cardona, fresh off his beating at the hands of Randy Orton, demands a match with Randy Orton, but Nick Aldis says no. Carmelo Hayes steps in, says, hey, I heard you closed my U.S. Open Challenge. Aldis says, yes, it's closed because somebody accepted it. And in walks Ilya Dragunov. And they're jibber-jabbering a bit. And finally, basically, Dragunov says, you convinced me to accept this match. Hayes says, it's about time. And then Carmelo Hayes, grown man, says, for one of us, it'll be champagne. For the other, just pain. It was very, very corny. So they book the match. And like I say, I thought the payoff would be they do this match at Mania, and they do some kind of swerve when Dragunov came out there. Spoiler, they did the match. We have an Irresistible Forces type video.
I am somewhat astounded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that they did the match.
They put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off.
And then just do it.
And it seems so obvious this was going to end up being a Mania match. But no.
Not even.
It's just a match.
Not even Carmelo Hayes, I will accept your challenge for next week.
Yeah.
No, I'll accept your challenge.
I didn't even know about it until you brought it up here.
For all intents and purposes right now. Yeah. Jade Cargill comes out for a promo. She calls out Rhea Ripley. They go back and forth a little bit. I think Jade Cargill was wearing 14-inch heels because she was towering over Rhea Ripley. And Rhea's a big woman, but Jade looked like Olivia Ryu out there. So Jade brings up Io Sky. Rhea shuts it down before that can get any far. Finally, Rhea is ready to fight, but Jade says, not on my call or whatever. Jade starts to leave. Her entrance is blocked by Meechan and B-Fab, who she's been feuding with all year. She just beat Meechan last week. And they stand face-to-face with her, and Meechan's got her kendo stick. And then they all smile and stand side-by-side, and they surround the ring. And Rhea's no coward. She'll stand her ground, and she throws a kick at B-Fab, but they overwhelm her and beat her ass. And
wow.
Jade plants her with a jaded. And yeah, none of this
makes
sense.
What did they call them?
There was a line here where Wade says Jade Cargill is the ringleader of the Tormentors.
The Tormentors.
So I don't know if that's
not a bad name, but I'm not sure it's a great name for this particular group.
I have heard worse names than the Tormentors.
The Tormentors.
Yes. So, yes, a total swerve, came out of nowhere, made no sense. Perhaps they will have a logical explanation next week. Kit Wilson is trying to talk to Miz, but Miz is distracted. Because no matter what Miz tries to do or where he tries to go, something goes wrong all the time. Had a family vacation to Hawaii, it was delayed by the weather. Had a snafu with his ticket, he had to get in the middle seat. And worse, when he got there, he got all sunburned. And he says this, Danhausen shows up, slaps them both on the back really hard. He offers to be their muscle. They rant about him and scream at him, say there's no such thing as curses. So he leaves, and then a ladder very nearly falls on them. Miz tells Kit, if you want to impress me, you got to go handle things yourself. And so Kit leaves, and Miz is just standing there. And then a second ladder falls on Miz and apparently kills him. Okay, that was funny. That was supposed to be funny, and it was funny. Solo Sikoa chews out the MFTs for losing the tag titles. Tama gets in his face and says, you're starting to sound like Roman. And that, of course, is...
Man.
That's a sensitive subject. Speaking of the bloodline, Jacob Fatu is there. He and Drew McIntyre are still brawling, and they pass through.
The problem with this bloodline is with the original bloodline, they did like a really good job getting all sorts of people over. So Roman obviously was over, and then Sami Zayn got over in the role, and then Jey Uso got over in the role, which was mostly because he was laughing at Sami and couldn't contain himself, and people thought it was funny. But they got people over. This bloodline, like, God bless them. But seriously, like, are any of them over? Are any of them over where if you did a split, it'd be like, oh man, here we go. Now we're going to see Tala Tonga go off on his own. Like, there's no one over enough for this group to split. So why are they fighting? Why is there infighting?
I don't know. Solo is less over than he used to be. He was over for a while. They announced Dennis Rodman into the Hall of Fame. And yes, we actually got Ilya Dragunov versus Carmelo Hayes.
They're putting Dennis Rodman in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They're asking him to show up at a Hall of Fame ceremony. In Vegas.
In Las Vegas.
at like 10 o'clock p.m.
Right.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
It's the same company that booked Randy Orton to be a heel.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So what we got to see of Ilya Dragunov and Camilla Hayes was completely excellent. We didn't see a ton. This went like, if I say this went through two commercial breaks, you think, man, they must have got a lot of time. Not really. It went like 12, maybe 15 minutes, and there were two commercial breaks in there. What we saw was outstanding, and they're doing this big-ass strike exchange, which Ilya wins by doing a dropping discus chop to the knee, which is incredible.
Granny did mention a knee chop.
There was a knee chop.
On the last show.
Yeah, yeah. And Dragunov gets a near fall with a power bomb and a near fall with a backbreaker in 2026. And Melo was selling his ribs, so that's part of it. So Ilya finally, he kicks out of a codebreaker the first 48. He hits Torpedo Moscow after trying for it the whole match, not getting it. He finally hits it, but instead of trying a pin, he picks Melo up for a power bomb. Hayes rolls through that into a sunset flip and gets the win. So we'll see where they go from here. It was the best, as far as wrestling goes.
So after all that,
he just pinned him.
They just had him pin Ilya.
Yeah.
Ilya.
Yeah. What we saw was excellent. And as far as wrestling goes, it was the best thing on the show, clearly. Jelly Roll congratulates Priest and Truth on winning the tag titles. He runs into Randy Orton, and I was a little annoyed that he didn't like flinch or get defensive or anything. This is the guy who shoved him down last week. But I guess they have a history, and he knows him well. And Orton starts to apologize for shoving him down, and Jelly Roll gives him I can't even call it a promo. He gives him a sermon, and he was great. He was great here, and he was a great leader. He says, I know you've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. I don't want to be remembered for my worst moments, but you can't go back to that old version of yourself. You've worked so hard to get better. You're a great husband and a great father.
Even he knows.
That's the Randy I know. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Jelly Roll should be booking.
So Orton looks at him and completely seriously just says, Jelly. What am I supposed to do? And Jelly tells him to find Cardona and do the right thing. We'll start there. We go to commercial. We come back, and there is a graphic about what's going to happen later in the show. In all capital letters, it reads, Kit Wilson calls out Jelly Roll. A recap of Brock Lesnar and Obafemi and their confrontation on Raw and all the mainstream coverage that you got from mainstream sites. I will say that whoever put together these video effects where like the screen is letterboxed, but then when Oba throws Brock into the air, he breaks out of the letterbox. That looked really awesome. That was tremendous. And then they did the tail of the tape for these two giant men. So Kit Wilson, as promised, calls out Jelly Roll. Jelly shows up and he just saunters on down. He's ready to start throwing hands. And Kit says, whoa, whoa, whoa. I do not fight with my fists. I fight with my words. And Jelly says, are you telling me I had to fly all the way out here, wherever the hell they were, to do a rap battle? And no, Kit says, I am far better than any rapper. We are here to do slam poetry. And the lights dim and they're in a spotlight all of a sudden. So Kit pulls out his book and Jelly Roll is appalled. You brought a book, he says. You scripted your bars. So I was trying to figure out how Jelly Roll is the best part of the show, and I realized the answer is he's the only guy who's acting like an actual human being. A very colorful human being, a very charismatic human being, but he's his real authentic self here, and everyone else feels like a complete cartoon character. So Kit has his lines, making fun of Jelly's criminal past, calling him a melted blob of skin, and berries for taking Ozempic, and finally he's lost so much weight, he's finally able to see his willy.
Wow.
So Jelly Roll is shocked by all this, but he fires back. And all he has in his arsenal is Yo Mama jokes. I banged your mom, was his entire comeback. Which kind of proves Kit's point. That's an awfully toxically masculine thing to say. So Kit attacks him from behind, lays him out, hits a top rope Buddy Landell elbow. I thought, okay, they can do the whole confrontation in Mania. It'll go like 5 minutes. It'll be a big fun. And then later they announce it's next week.
I mean, the only thing I can figure is like, maybe they could do something where like Jelly's beating him down and they get some other celebrity to run down and make the save, yeah. And then we get like some mixed tag with Jelly Roll and a wrestler versus some other celebrity and a wrestler, something like that. I mean, yeah. I don't know what else you can do. Has to be something like that,
I guess. But yes, it seems strange if you have Jelly Roll that you put him on a random SmackDown and at WrestleMania itself.
Yes, yeah. There's got to be more.
Yeah. Julia scolds Kiana James for not getting the job done. Says she'll put Tiffany in her place next week. I assume Kiana lost a match to Tiffany, and that's why Julia is upset. Chelsea Green and Alba Fire interrupt. They say, or she says, they should all work together to deal with Tiffany, but Julia blows her off, and then the Irresistible Forces walk by, and they push Chelsea's wheelchair down the hall. Jelly tells Nick he wants Kit, so Aldis books the match for next week in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Jelly Roll shouts it, because Jelly Roll's the guy who knows how to promote. He's a better promoter than anyone on any of these shows. He's impossibly good at this. The Irresistible Forces versus the Bella Twins. First thing I will say is the Bellas are in incredible shape. 42 years old, I believe.
So was this a tag title match? It was, right?
A tag team championship match.
This is another one. It's like the Bellas are going after the tag team titles.
Yeah.
Here on television.
Well, this one clearly is not the end of the story.
I'm sure.
Carmelo pinned Ilya Kleen, so that sounds like an end. This was not. Charlotte and Alexa make their entrance. That distracts the Bellas, and Lash gets the heat. And they're beating these guys up, and they start making their comeback. And in the ring, Nikki Bella has Lash Legend in the Fearless Lock. As that is going on, Nia Jax at ringside goes to hit Brie Bella with one of the championship belts. Charlotte sees this. Charlotte attacks Nia. That's a disqualification. So the champs retain. The Bellas are hot. They're brawling with Charlotte and Alexa. The champs join in, and they lay everyone out. And then, perhaps in tribute to Dennis Condrey on the night he passed away, they hit Charlotte with the Midnight Express's old Vegematic. The assisted leg drop. Randy's on the phone to this mystery partner he has. He vows to go to the ring and fix it. And yes, advertised for next week, 3 hours in Pittsburgh, Jelly Roll versus Kit Wilson, Julia versus Tiffany Stratton, and Alexa and Charlotte versus the Bella Twins. Not for the titles, because no one's a champion.
Well, it's probably going to be like a multi-woman.
It sounds like a
tag gimmick for Mania. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they do it on TV for free.
So we have Randy Orton coming out again. He does his whole entrance again. Just takes
Let me guess. Gets cheered?
Without a first. He comes out. He calls out Matt Cardona, who shows up like a dumbass. And Randy apologizes for insulting action figures. Says, I like video games too, he says. And he offers a handshake and a hug. And I mentioned Cardona's a dumbass, right? Cardona accepted this handshake and this hug. And so Randy hugs him and then steps back and punts him right in the balls and drops him with an RKO. And the crowd goes, yay! That's where I started to laugh. That's not the funniest thing yet, though. So he's beating up Cardona. And like Nick Aldis and a dozen dudes come out there. And all they do is surround Randy Orton and shout, hey man, stop. Over and over and over again. No one actually gets in his way or puts themselves between Orton and Cardona. So they all stand back. He puts a chair around Cardona's arm. He stomps the chair. He pulmonizes the arm. And this diabolical, nefarious act angers the crowd so badly they chant, one more time! One more time! So I'm already in a good mood now. Suddenly, we go to the screen. There is another brawl backstage where, again, perhaps in tribute to Dennis Condrey, Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre have found a scaffold somewhere.
No. Stop.
So Aldis' security runs back there. They find, first of all, there's multiple cameras back there shooting this brawl. And conveniently, all they find is a fence that is exactly 5'9" in height. So they can all see over it, but they can't like climb to get over it. So they just watch what happens. We're looking up at the scaffold. I don't know. It's 12 or 15 feet, whatever it is. We can't see the ground because the fence is in the way. So Jacob is like on the outside of the scaffold, hanging on to the handrail and throwing punches with his other hand. And I thought, okay, he'll throw some punches, but Drew will grab him and deck him or like drop his neck in the guardrail, and Jacob will take a big fall backwards. No, they're throwing punches. And Drew, for no reason I can discern, grabs the handrail and of his own free will climbs the other side. And then they just both fall off. I was howling with laughter. I was laughing so hard I cried. I don't think that's what they were going for, but I was entertained.
Are we doing a scaffold match at WrestleMania?
In a dome?
Oh, my God.
That's a terrible idea. So, yes, thank God for Jelly Roll, Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes, and that ending.
Well, I got to give you credit, Vinny. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to watch the show now.
All right. There you go.
I'm always looking for good material.
There's plenty to work with there, good and bad. Mostly bad. I also watched AEW Collision Slam Dunk Saturday, March 21st, 2026.
Hope Dunkzilla was on it.
He was not, in fact.
Really?
He might be on Sunday. I'm not sure. Yeah, so like I say, this won't take long. They did an hour of TV. There was nothing newsworthy because they knew no one was going to watch it. And they were contractually obligated to do 2 hours of television this weekend. This was hour number one, and here we go. Taped from the Save Mart Center in Fresno, California. Robbie Eagles versus Kyle Fletcher is the opener. TMDK comes out with Robbie. They shake his hand and immediately head backstage. They flew across the ocean yeah. to do that.
Well, you know.
I guess you can say hi to people and make yourself known. Had a total throwback match early. It's all arm ringers and basic submission holds. Shivani's on commentary. I don't know if he's talked to Eric Bischoff lately, but he kept throwing in back leg front kick. I laughed. The fans spontaneously start doing the Fireflies bit with their phones. And I was like, did they do it like a Sister Abigail I missed? But I went back and watched. I didn't see anything. I think it was also very, very dark. I don't think a lot of people stuck around after Dynamite. So I don't know. Maybe they're showing off how dark it was. They had a very good Japan-style match where it's not like there's a heat and a comeback, but it's slow and it gets better and better and better. And then right when it peaked, they took it home. So that was good. Robbie got a reverse figure four. Kyle had to fly out of. Kyle escaped that, so Robbie flies like an eagle to the sea. Kyle tries a top rope brainbuster. He gets Robbie's feet up in the air, and Robbie starts doing like the knees to the head while he's upside down. And then from the top rope, they both jump down to the mat and land on their feet. And Robbie suplexes him into the buckle. I have not seen that done before. I'm glad everyone survived. There's one last flurry of action, and Kyle lawn darts him into the buckle, pins him with a brainbuster. It was a very good Japan-style match. Nobody thought Robbie Eagles had a prayer of winning.
Well, obviously, the idea was this was going to be the first match following the end of the game, and they figure they'll have millions of viewers. So we got to put a banger out there. Yeah. Was it a banger?
I mean, it was good. Honestly, I mean, as far as bangers go in the 2026 version of bangers, this started quite slow. They were doing arm ringers and headlocks and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. The story, if I didn't mention, Robbie trained Kyle. It was a teacher versus student match. The student has surpassed the teacher, and I think even Robbie would tell you that. The Death Riders have a little video package. It's just Mox and Pac. Mox basically says, I won't explain why we did what we did to you, because you wouldn't understand anyway. I hope you can keep yourself out of the hospital, but if you're determined to get yourself in trouble, and just leaves that thought and walks away. And Pac says, look, I wasn't even here when whatever happened to Ospreay happened to him. But I always thought he was a prick. So it's going to be Ospreay and Pac at some point. Roosh and Realistico and Beast Mortos versus Dom Kubrick and Lucas Riley and Alpha Zoe. It's always weird. And they've done this for a long time. Beast comes out and they say, there he is. He's one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Then why is he teaming with other people? Where's his partner? Why even mention it then? It's a squash. Thank goodness. We did not see like Alpha Zoe running wild or anything. Honestly, I was expecting an even more savage beating, but Roosh was very professional with him. He hit the horns, the corner knees. He let Mortos do a corkscrew moonsault, and Roosh got the pin. There you go. Lexi interviews Tekla backstage, asks her, did you have anything to do with that attack on Tony Storm? And Tekla says, yes, I had everything to do with that, what happened to Tony, because she said she wanted a title shot, then she saw what I did to Statlander, and then she was so scared, she staged the whole thing and ran back home. She says it's good advice. She advises the entire locker room to fake their own deaths, because reality of facing her is so much work.
So they're doing a storyline. It's Who attacked Toni Storm?
Yes, and on the video they showed on Dynamite, she was on screen for about a second and a half. Apparently, the still shot made it to social media, and there's clues all over the place. There's somebody's weapon and somebody's gear and somebody's puppet and all this.
Yeah, the reality is Tony's probably out a considerable amount of time, and so I don't think they have an attacker in mind because, you know, by the time it's time, they may even have forgotten about this for all I know, but there's going to be a lot of speculation about who it is, but my guess is they don't actually have anybody yet.
So the Sisters of Sin come out to face Jamie Hayter and Alex Windsor. We've talked about how stupid the Brawling Birds is as a name. The ring announcer pronounced it slightly differently. You ever heard the 12 Days of Christmas?
Yes.
And they get to four calling birds? They don't say the calling birds. It's four calling birds.
Yes.
That's how she pronounced it. The Brawling Birds. And somehow that's much better. So this was more of an attempt to have a banger. They went back and forth the entire time. It was a total sprint. I guess there was very briefly a heat segment for a while, in fact. They go up top. Sky hits an avalanche code, red of sorts, but Jamie makes the save. So they're beating up Alex Windsor. That's right, because this is important. They have the heat on Alex Windsor. She breaks up a double team. She drops Sky with a blue thunder bomb. Julia grabs Alex. Alex elbows her in the face one time. And Alex just turns and saunters across the ring and tags in Jamie. It was the least dramatic hot tag ever. But then they very quickly hit their finisher. It's a heart attack. They call two birds, one stone, and get the win. They must have got the cue to take it home. This was a match that happened.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah. It sounds kind of cool until you think about the entire saying, which is killing two birds with one stone.
Too bad Robert Stone is that GM of NXT.
Two birds, two stones?
Yeah, no, two birds, one. He could be their manager.
He'd be the stone.
Yeah.
I see, yeah.
Two birds, one stone. I like it.
That's not bad. Lexi interviews Brody King, who says he owes Kenny Omega a favor. Things between him and Swerve are not over. The hunt for championship gold continues. Arf. We had a Hangman MJF video package. And then we're already to the main event. Commander and Masquerade Dorada versus Claudio Castagnoli and Daniel Garcia. Note, Claudio has lost the CMLL title to Hechicero.
True, yeah. Wow, they mentioned that, huh?
Yep. Although he came out without the belt, but he was still wearing his lucha mask.
That's actually interesting because it's a taped show.
Yes.
He lost the title on Friday.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. So this is a fun match. The luchadors are too fast for Garcia. So he tags in his giant Swiss friend, and the giant works them over for a while, but eventually they're too fast for him as well. Until he's knocked outside, and Dorada tries a dive, and Claudio catches him on a dive in tombstone position. Thankfully, did not tombstone him on the floor, just slammed him in the announce table, and they got the heat for a while. And somehow, even though they got the heat on Dorada before the break, there's heat on Commander after the break. But Dorada gets his hot tag, and when I say he does more flips than necessary, you ever play Mortal Kombat?
No.
That's kind of what Dorada looked like here. Then the heels get knocked outside, and Commander and Dorada each go to a corner, and they do a tightrope walk to each other and then do a double moonsault to the outside. That one spot right there made this entire show worth it. That was awesome. They double team Garcia to death for a while until I do love when teams do this. Claudio comes in without a tag, makes the save, beats both their asses, then like waves Garcia over to the corner so he can go legally tag himself in. I mean, he does that. They'll double team Commander for a while. He tries another rope walk. So he's like on the top rope holding, I think it was Claudio by the hand. Dorado then does a tope through them, between the top rope and their gripped hands, goes flying over, wipes out Garcia on the floor. Commander hits Claudio with a Dragon Rana. But Claudio no-sells that, basically. Hits a tilt-a-whirl, a giant swing, gets the neutralizer, and wins. It turned into a hell of a thing, even though this match and this show were completely skippable. Nothing important happened.
Well, yeah, that's...
But then, again, it's a Saturday after basketball. No one's going to watch anyway.
Well, usually, honestly, the first quarter is usually enormous.
Okay, well.
But it does, completely fall off a cliff as the show goes on.
And
they like doing it, and listen, whatever the network wants you to do, all right, we'll do it.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I don't, there's obviously the theory that we'll have all these new eyeballs, put on a banger, gain new fans. But, I mean, they've done this many times for many years, and I've never gotten the impression that it's ever recruited one new fan, you know. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And like I said, if the network wants it there to, you know, build whatever, you do it. But I don't think it's the kind of thing where, oh, you know, I discovered AEW one night at Saturday. I've just finished watching the NBA, and man, these two wrestlers had this wild match, and next thing you know, I'm a hardcore.
I just finished watching basketball for 12 straight hours for the third straight day, but now I like wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know if that happens, but yeah. You do what you got to do when you're asked to do it.
Yeah.
So that's it. All right, well, the other one should be starting at any time, but we're going to wrap this show up. I will be up at some point. I'll be up at some point tonight. Need a shout-out to Big Dave. And what even is that? PW right now? Well, Basilisk, there's your shout-out to Big Dave. I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, but hello! He sent us $2 for that.
Oh, all right.
Apparently, this is a free show, so like everyone's throwing stuff in here. But anyway, Dave and I are going to be up later on tonight. If you're listening free, you can listen to that, WrestlingObserver.com, or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Just put any of those words behind F4W Online. So F4WOnline.com/Apple, F4WOnline.com/Spotify, F4WOnline.com/YouTube. And you can meet us in Vegas. Vinny and I are going to be there doing a show, and Dave and I are going to be there doing a show. F4WOnline.com/Vegas. You should get your tickets now. Very affordable, and it's a fun thing to add to your WrestleMania weekend if you're going. We have the live shows on Friday, and we've got a steak dinner at Texas Day Brazil. We're going to be watching wrestling with Dave, and we're going to have WrestleMania post-shows Saturday and Sunday night in a suite. It's going to be a lot of fun, so F4WOnline.com/Vegas. Come hang out with us in Vegas, and that's it from here. Vinny and I will be up on Tuesday, the second week of Rey to Reyes. I'll be back tomorrow, Observer Live, with Filthy Tom. Lots of fun stuff, so check it out, everybody. And that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.